So I want you to imagine doing like everything society tells you to do to earn that perfect picture postcard Southern California retirement.
Oh, right, the whole golden years dream.
Exactly. You pay your taxes, you raise your kids, you put in the, decades of grueling work.
Right.
But when you finally get to the finish line, your biological family is just nowhere to be found.
Yeah, which is a really harsh reality.
It really is. And instead, the only thing standing between you and just crushing total isolation is like a 10-pound dog sitting in the front basket of a bicycle.
Wow. I mean, it really shatters that polished, glossy image of retirement we're constantly sold, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
We all kind of expect luxury and constant family visits, but the on-the-ground reality for so many seniors is just drastically, fundamentally different.
Which brings us to the exact focus of our deep dive today.
Oh.
We are exploring this truly fascinating piece of digital artwork that, well, captures this exact tension.
It's a very striking piece.
Yeah, it was created recently in May of 2024 by an artist named Jairo Duque. And the piece is titled 12, Philip and Family. And Duque actually created this right in his studio in Whittier, California, just outside LA.
Which is such a specific, grounded location.
Yeah, and this artwork has been making massive international waves. It recently went from that studio in Whittier all the way to an exhibition in Dubai.
That trajectory is incredible, especially when you consider, the intensely intimate subject
Oh, for
matter.
sure.
Because the visual premise of the artwork is, well, at first glance, it's deceptively simple. You are basically looking at an elderly couple, Philip and Natalia.
Right, just out for a ride.
Exactly. They are peacefully pedaling their bicycles through their neighborhood under this very bright, classic California sun.
It looks incredibly serene, like almost perfect.
It really does.
But the detail that anchors this entire conversation, the thing that really pulls you in as a viewer,
Yeah.
is what's sitting in the baskets of those bicycles.
These dogs.
Yeah, they're small dogs. Okay, let's unpack this, because this seemingly quiet, peaceful image sparks a massive, really complex debate.
It absolutely does.
Today, we're going to analyze the core question this artwork raises. Do these daily rituals and the companionship of small pets actually cure the chronic isolation of old age?
Or are we looking at something else entirely?
Right. Is this just a beautifully constructed survival mechanism, like essentially a band-aid covering a much deeper, much more painful wound of structural and socioeconomic abandonment?
And to even begin answering whether this is a genuine cure or just, a symptom of a broken system, we have to look closely at the geography.
The physical and emotional setting, right?
Exactly. We need
Yeah.
to look at where this painting actually takes place. Jairo Duque is not painting some luxury retirement brochure here.
No, not at all.
He isn't working from his imagination either. He is documenting his actual lived surroundings.
Right, so we aren't looking at some gated community with golf carts and private security.
No.
The setting is the Candlewood Mobile Home Park in Whittier. And, understanding that specific location just changes how we view the entire painting.
Oh, it's the absolute backbone of the entire socioeconomic context. We really have to drill down into what it means to live in a mobile home park in Southern California today.
It's intense.
It is. For many working class retirees and specifically immigrant pensioners, places like Candlewood are the absolute last refuge.
Like the final option.
Yeah, it's the final bastion of affordable housing in the middle of a completely asphyxiating housing crisis.
And these are people who are living strictly on a fixed pension. That money is calculated down to the very last cent before the month even begins, you know?
Exactly. There's zero margin for error.
Right. They live day to day, just barely covering the costs of basic survival. And it's like they fulfilled the social contract, they did the
They
work.
played by the rules.
But when they reach this vulnerable stage of life, they simply aren't getting the visits or the support from their biological families that they actually need. The loneliness hanging over them is just heavy.
It's incredibly heavy, and yet they survive in the face of that.
They more than survive, I mean, they adapt. And this is where I really want to champion what's happening in this artwork.
How so?
Well, human beings have this extraordinary capacity for adaptation. When that traditional biological family structure fades away, they don't just sit in a dark room and give up.
Right, they find a way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They actively build a good environment for themselves day by day. And that is exactly where these small dogs come into play.
Which Duke actually points out.
Yeah, he explicitly notes that these pets are not just passive decorations in his painting. They are the living, beating heart of a new kind of family.
What's fascinating here is there's an underlying biological imperative driving this behavior.
Like it's hardwired into us.
Yes. I don't think any expert would deny the immense psychological benefit of having an animal in the home. But this is about survival on a cellular level.
Actually, our sources provide this brilliant biological analogy that really makes this concept click for me.
Oh, the tree analogy.
Yeah, it's so good. Think of these seniors as a massive, deeply rooted tree. Now, if circumstances cause that tree to lose its main trunk, or if its thickest branches are cut off.
Representing those adult children who no longer visit, right?
Exactly. Or that traditional family network disappearing. The tree doesn't just immediately dry up and die.
The root system goes to work.
It goes into complete overdrive. The root system actively starts growing these fine, delicate capillary roots.
Pushing out to find new nutrients.
Yeah, they push out in entirely new directions to find water. And these pets, these small dogs, they act as those capillary roots for Philip and Natalia.
That makes total sense.
On a physiological level, caring for them actively lowers cortisol levels. It forces a daily routine when you might otherwise, you know, just not get out of bed.
And that routine is critical because it forces interaction with the outside world.
Precisely. When Philip and Natalia put those dogs in the bike baskets and ride out into the neighborhood, those dogs act as the ultimate social icebreaker.
It gives them a reason to stop and talk.
Yeah, it's the perfect bridge. You stop on the sidewalk, you let a neighbor pet the dog, and suddenly you are talking. You aren't just saying hello.
You're checking in.
Right. You find out who is sick down the street. You learn who needs groceries picked up. Through these pets, they are actively building an expanded family.
They're creating a whole new network.
They're weaving a social fabric that pulls people out of the isolation of their individual mobile homes. It's just this active daily lifesaver.
It truly is a beautiful and, I mean, poetic adaptation. But, and we have to be incredibly careful here, we cannot view this situation strictly through a romantic lens.
You think it's too idealized?
Well, it is very easy for us to sit back and praise their resilience from a place of privilege. We cannot ignore the raw material weight of this dynamic.
Ah, you're talking about the financial reality of keeping those capillary roots alive.
Yes. Think about the mechanics of the poverty we just established. You are surviving month to month on a severely limited pension that does not rise with inflation.
Right.
Now add the financial stress of keeping an animal alive and healthy. These pets are aging right alongside their owners.
Oh, man. Yeah. The vet bills.
We are talking about soaring costs. Veterinary care, long-term treatments for things like hip dysplasia, specialized diets, and sudden emergencies.
It's so expensive now.
For a resident of Candlewood, a surprise $500 vet bill isn't just an inconvenience that goes on a credit card. It is a devastating financial event.
It becomes a brutal zero-sum game.
It literally means having to choose between paying your electricity bill, buying your own essential blood pressure medication, or saving your dog's life.
That's just awful.
The emotional bond is unimaginably strong, but it is chained to a level of economic precarity that society, frankly, prefers not to look at.
Because it's just too painful to acknowledge.
Exactly. Yes, the dog is an icebreaker. Yes, the neighbors might ask how you're doing while petting your dog, but a dog cannot advocate for you.
Okay, I hear the financial reality, but I want to push back on painting them just as victims of a spreadsheet.
Fair enough.
Aren't we running a massive risk by focusing so heavily on their poverty? Like, if we only view these seniors as passive victims of a broken system, and we reduce these pests to just being desperate emergency life rafts.
You think it takes away their power?
Yeah. Aren't we stripping Philip and Natalia of their human agency? We're ignoring their active, powerful choice to keep loving, to keep connecting, despite their brutal circumstances.
I'm certainly not trying to strip them of their agency, but acknowledging trauma and systemic failure does not erase that agency.
Okay, go on.
Being the author of your own story doesn't mean the setting of that story isn't fundamentally broken. Adapting beautifully to a systemic failure does not mean the failure has suddenly vanished.
That's a very fair point.
As I was saying, a dog cannot advocate for you when the corporate landowners suddenly decide to hike the lot rent at the mobile home park by 20% in a single month.
Which happens a lot.
It does. A dog cannot drive you to the emergency room if you take a bad fall at 3 a.m. If we label this beautiful adaptation as a cure for chronic isolation, we are effectively letting society and biological families entirely off the hook for their ethical responsibilities to the elderly.
Okay, wow. That makes sense. We can't use their incredible resilience as an excuse to ignore the broken system that forced them to be resilient in the first place.
Exactly.
But I still maintain that the loneliness we are talking about is fundamentally an affliction of the spirit. It's that crushing feeling that you no longer matter.
Which is very real.
And if we look closely at Jairo Duke's visual choices in the painting itself, he's telling a story that actively fights against that narrative of pure tragedy and abandonment.
You see a lot of optimism in the visual composition then.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Duke is a master of digital art, and he deliberately chose not to paint a static, depressing image.
Right, they aren't just sitting still.
Exactly. Philip and Natalia aren't sitting alone in a dark room staring at a wall. They are on bicycles. The composition uses this very clear, sharp, diagonal line formed by the bikes, moving from left to right across the canvas.
And in Western visual language, because we read from left to right, that specific diagonal movement projects forward motion.
Yes, it projects a future. Duke himself refers to it in his notes as a vital transit.
It captures the literal and metaphorical transit of their daily life.
Which makes his choice of lighting even more intentional. If an artist wanted to create a heavy-handed, gloomy manifesto about structural neglect, they would use dark, oppressive, leaden colors.
Sure, they'd make it look bleak.
But Duke completely floods the scene with his brilliant, open California light. He purposefully avoids an overly nostalgic or sad tone.
That's very deliberate.
By placing Philip and Natalia in the luminous center of their day, bathed in light and moving forward, he is proving that they own their present reality. They are not floating in the void of being forgotten.
That is a very sharp analysis of the light and the composition, but, and there's a big but here, we have to contrast that with the single most revealing technical detail of Duke's entire process.
The software he used.
Yes, because this isn't traditional oil on canvas. He used an iPad.
Right. He was using the digital illustration software Procreate.
And in his own notes, he engaged in this very honest self-critique about a technical struggle he faced while painting this specific urban scene in that software.
Oh, the lighting thing.
Exactly. He admitted that he failed to properly apply something called ambient occlusion.
Okay, I know a bit about digital art, and that is a crucial element for making things look real.
It really is. For our listeners who might not be familiar, ambient occlusion is a rendering technique.
Right.
Think of it like this. If you put a coffee cup on a brightly lit wooden desk, ambient occlusion is that very soft, dark, concentrated shadow right where the bottom of the cup touches the wood.
It's how light behaves in corners and crevices.
Yes. That tiny shadow tells your brain, this cup physically belongs on this desk. It creates an organic dialogue between the object and its environment.
And without that specific shadow, the coffee cup just looks like it's hovering in midair.
Precisely. Because Duke struggled to apply this technique, the result is that the foreground, Philip, Natalia, and the dogs, separates too sharply from the background.
Oh, I see.
They lack that organic shadow integration. So visually, the subjects look a little bit like a sticker or a cutout that has just been pasted onto the Whittier landscape.
Ah, I see what you're doing. You're saying that this self-admitted technical glitch actually mirrors their socioeconomic reality perfectly.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the metaphor is absolutely devastating.
It really is.
Whether it was an accidental software struggle or a subconscious manifestation of the reality he was observing, this lack of shadow integration perfectly illustrates their situation.
Wow, think about it.
Right. These pensioners are physically present in the urban space. They occupy the foreground of the neighborhood. But they are completely cut out and disconnected from the broader social, productive, and economic machinery of the country around them.
Because they are trapped on that fixed, down-to-the-cent pension while the cost of living just keeps soaring.
Exactly that. They float on a background that they no longer interact with economically. The world has continued its dizzying, rapid pace right behind them, but they are separated from it.
Like they're completely walled off.
Their entire world, their family unit, has been reduced to this hyper-defined bubble in the foreground. Yes, their adaptation is beautiful, but it's happening inside an isolated microcosm.
Yeah, that's heavy.
They are physically there, but systemically, they are stickers pasted on a society that has moved on without them.
That is a brilliant way to interpret that technical detail. I mean, it gives the painting a completely different weight.
It changes everything.
But I still refuse to accept that this piece is ultimately a story of defeat. Because of one crucial piece of background information, from the sources that changes the entire emotional resonance of this painting, we really need to talk about Philip himself.
This is perhaps the most critical context of the entire deep dive.
Yeah. Philip has actually passed away.
It's heartbreaking.
This digital painting, with its bright light and forward motion, is a work of memory. It is a tribute. And you might immediately think that makes it a tragic piece about loss. But Duke specifically notes that Philip's presence endures in this artwork.
It really does.
His life is preserved in the gesture of his hand on the handlebars, in the calm of the ride, and in the life he shared with Natalia.
It is a profound act of remembering. But we have to look closely at the artist's specific intent here. Duke makes a vital distinction in his notes.
Right, about how he's portraying them.
Yes. He explicitly states that he is not monumentalizing this scene, he is dignifying it.
Which is a massive conceptual canyon. Because if he were monumentalizing them, he would be painting them as these flawless, triumphant heroes who completely beat the system.
Like a propaganda poster.
Exactly. He'd be holding this up on a pedestal saying, look at this perfect victory over loneliness. This is the ideal way to age.
Which ignores all the hardship.
Right, that would be a lie. Dignifying feels so much more honest. By dignifying the scene, he's saying, I see your struggle. I see the broken system, and I deeply respect your survival. It is just raw, unfiltered empathy.
That perfectly captures the distinction. He respects the resilience without pretending the hardship doesn't exist, and the sources use a very specific, powerful Spanish phrase to describe the pets in this context.
Oh, what is it?
They are called compañeros de trinchera.
Trench companions?
Trench companions.
Uh-huh.
They are vital, emotional lifesavers in the middle of a daily battle.
Wow.
But the heartbreaking reality of this being a work of memory is that Natalia is now facing the day-to-day trenches entirely alone with only those small dogs for company.
That's so sad.
It highlights how incredibly fragile and vulnerable their existence really is when the biological family structure is absent.
It is fragile, absolutely. But look at the incredible result of this whole story. The very fact that Philip inspired this international artwork.
The legacy of it.
Yeah. The fact that an artist spent days observing him, documenting his life, and now that image is being analyzed by us and viewed by people halfway across the world in Dubai.
It's remarkable.
It proves that his ritual of putting those dogs in the basket and riding outside actually worked. It made him visible.
It really did.
It wove him so deeply into the fabric of his community that he was not forgotten. He wasn't swallowed up by the isolation of the mobile home park. He belonged.
This raises an important question about how we view community, doesn't it? Jared Duke managed to capture all of that tension, the genuine joy of the ride, and the heavy silence of the structural neglect in a single masterful image.
He really walked that tightrope perfectly.
He refuses to resort to cheap melodrama, and he refuses to use their poverty just as a prop. By elevating these small pets to the status of a true family, he forces all of us to confront our own prejudices about what aging and connection actually look like in the modern world.
So what does this all mean? When you pull all these threads together, what this artwork really does is rip up that clean, plastic, conflict-free postcard of retirement that we're constantly sold on television.
It completely dismantles it.
It paints something infinitely more human, more flawed, and more real. It honors the incredible dignity and the sheer resourcefulness of seniors who use whatever few resources they have, even if it's just two small dogs in a bicycle basket, to actively pedal toward connection and fight off the dark gravity of isolation.
It is a testament to the fact that belonging isn't just about blood or genetics. It's about the daily, active effort of showing up in your community, even when the system itself makes it incredibly difficult.
And we want you to take this perspective with you. The next time you are walking through your neighborhood and you see an elderly person walking their pet on the sidewalk or sitting with a dog in the park, I want you to look past the cute dog.
Look at the bigger picture.
Stop for a second and ask yourself, what invisible support networks, what end-of-the-month economic battles, and what silent daily victories are actually holding the other end of that leash? There is a whole universe of resilience right in front of you if you just choose to see it.
There really is, and looking closely at that reality forces us to look ahead at the broader implications for society as well.
It does, which leaves us with a lingering question for you to mull over long after this deep dive ends.
That's a big one.
If our modern societal structure increasingly relies on the unconditional love of small pets to do the heavy lifting of elder care and social cohesion, well, what does that mean for the design of our future cities?
Exactly.
Will the retirement communities of tomorrow actually be planned around deep human infrastructure, or will they simply be built as glorified dog parks for the isolated?